As I was saying earlier, the mystery of Easter, the revelation of God and the invitation to us in faith, is larger than we can ever understand. It certainly cannot be done on one Sunday in the springtime. And that's why the church gives us 7 weeks to think about it. We had 6 weeks to prepare for it in Lent, and now we have 7 weeks that we're going to be meditating upon. Okay, what does it mean? And of course, this Sunday is known throughout the entire Catholic world as Divine Mercy Sunday. That's one of the depths that we are invited to plumb and investigate. We heard from that ancient psalm written centuries before the birth of Jesus, "Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his mercy endures forever," way before the Passover of Jesus Christ, way before the prophets and psalmists were already talking of an enduring, eternal mercy. Many attempt to say that our God is an angry, vengeful God. Not true. He came to save us, not to condemn us. When Jesus appeared to the disciples the same evening as his resurrection, that very first Easter Sunday, we hear him say, "Peace to you." That's not a vengeful, angry God. And when he appears again the following Sunday, he says to them and the doubting Thomas, "Peace to you. Peace to you." And he adds that he wanted them to help people be forgiven of their sins. And we receive that famous line that the church is asked to continue till the end of time, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." And with that instruction, Jesus gave to the church the sacrament of reconciliation, our holy confession. I don't know if you've noticed about Sacred Heart Parish, but one of the distinguishing features about our community is that we're in a parish that confesses. A couple of weeks ago, Father and I were hearing confessions when we added the Lent confessions on Wednesday evenings, and I walked over in between visitors to him and the confessional. I said, "Come here and look out the window." And the last person in line was all the way around the church back to here. We've never seen lines like that. It's always been full. We've even hired an additional priest to come in on Saturday night so that there are three priests confessing here during Lent in preparation for the sacraments of the springtime. I would rather be pastor of a parish that confesses than a parish that says confessions are from 4:30 to 5 o'clock or by appointment. I'd much rather be here. And the blessings we have received are incredible in this community. Take a look around. Look at our parish. We are blessed as a community. God wants all of us to live in heaven with him. And St. Peter tells his listeners in that second reading, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. In his great mercy, God gave us a living hope, an inheritance that is imperishable, kept in heaven, waiting for us. That's not an angry, vengeful God. This is the promise of our salvation. Perhaps you have encountered those Protestant fundamentalists who ask, "Have you been saved?" You ever hear that question? "Have you been saved?" And of course, you know, we're not brought up with that kind of language, and so we don't really know how to answer the question. So I don't know, maybe I'm not. And we have to reassure ourselves all the time that the problem is with the question. The person asking the question doesn't understand salvation, or they would never make that question. We've been promised salvation by our baptism and by our Eucharist. Remember, Jesus said, "Who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life in him." That's a promise. That'd be a good line to respond to somebody who said, "Have you been saved?" And the correct way to think about the question is not something already done, but decisions and actions that we are doing every single day because we live the sacramental life that Jesus gave us. He gave them to us through the church, and we're being saved by them. It's a daily effort to live with the hope of our salvation. It takes effort to live with that hope, even to understand it. Look back at the reading of the earliest church after the Pentecost when St. Luke writes, "Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved." We are among those being saved already by living the sacraments of our church, following God's commandments. And when we fall off the bicycle, we have the promise, we go to confession, and we're being saved. And by that promise of confession that Jesus gave to the apostles, we can get back in line here and receive that food of eternal life over and over and over again until we're called home. That's being saved. Because we're living our sacraments together, we're being saved. Easter creates community. Have you noticed that? You can't do Easter alone in your living room. Easter creates community. It gives us hope as a community. Your church was founded by Jesus to help each of us help each other to become the person God has called each of us to do. I need you to become the person God wants me to be. And I think you need me to help become the person God's called you to be. That's how we're being saved. I don't know how you feel, but hallelujah. Thanks be to God.